Blog Talk Radio.
What's happening now on web radio is Alaska news and views. Welcome, everybody. It is great to be back. Yes, web radio, that's where it is. Community, you and me, that's what's happening now. It is good to be here. If you'd like to be part of the program this evening, you can dial 347-855-8570. Welcome back. This is Sherry. We are still here in Alaska broadcasting. It is February 3rd, 2016, Wednesday, 7 o'clock Alaska Standard Time. And we do have a little bit of freezing drizzle going on. And the forecast is supposed to be low 20s. For overnight, and it is currently 28 degrees here in my area and partly cloudy. I do not have the minutes we've gained, but I will actually try to add that because I am curious as we do see the day becoming longer, and that is definitely improvement. It's been dark, dreary, no snow here in the state of Alaska. Well, let's get to it. A lot has changed, been with you. And Alaska has seen her share of disappointment, as you know. We have 6 years of archives you can go back and check out. And the leadership has really not gotten any better. It is really very difficult to find reasonable, intelligent, and small government type public servants. So, let me just fill you in on a few little things as we talk a little bit about what's happening nationally concerning Alaska, and also talk a little bit about some state interest that are happening here in the state that might interest you. So, as you know, Donald Trump is running for president. And whatever you might feel about Donald Trump, he in recent times has become connected to Alaska. And you know in what way I'm speaking. Palin is a pain, without a doubt. So this is just to start us off, just so everyone knows where we stand right now. As we progress, we will be bringing you local, state, and also national news concerning the state of Alaska. So in the middle of her rambling, barely coherent speech, endorsing Donald Trump, and we've all heard it, Palin addressed the obvious true contention that Trump is not conservative. Yeah. She didn't really address the contention with any evidence at all, other than to basically say, what does the establishment know about conservatism? The implication of this question, of course, is that she, Sarah Palin, does know about conservatism, and that you can trust her and judgment in that area. So let's look and see who she's endorsed and if they were conservative. So let's go back and take her recent track record. The last person that Wackadoodle from Wasilla endorsed was a so-called independent candidate, Bill Walker. And I might just add that that endorsement did not come until about a week before it was actually voting day. So it really didn't matter. It didn't make one bit of difference one way or the other. However, for the sake of setting the record, along with his Democrat lieutenant governor, who happened to have ran against Palin's former running mate, Sean Parnell. Well, if Palin endorsed him over a Republican, then surely he must have been a super conservative person, right? Wrong, folks. Bill Walker has been a liberal disaster from day one in Alaska. And I can tell you personal stories without a doubt. One of his first major policy moves was to unilaterally ram the Obamacare Medicaid expansion down Alaska's throat, over the objections of the Republican Alaska legislature, who were so opposed to it that they unsuccessfully sued him over it. For those of you who are keeping score, this is exactly the same maneuver that basically torched John Kasich's presidential ambitions. And undoing this move basically propelled his opponent for that office. To pay for foray into Obamacare expansion, Walker is now trying to impose a massive state income tax on us Alaskans. Yeah. So if there's one thing you can trust from this broadcaster and any other thinking Alaskan, it's that Sarah Palin does not know what conservative is or what it looks like, and that if she does endorse someone, that they are not conservative. Because, honestly, I mean, it's hard to explain. But really, being conservative, does that really say massive Obamacare government health care expansion? Does that, paid by your taxes, does that say conservative, folks? No, it does not. So please, we are in the same position that we have been in. Alaska has been used and abused by folks, and it doesn't matter what your stripes are, but what pisses me off is if you've created a false persona of yourself, some kind of conservative, but yet you are the biggest government spender and tax to the highest, that isn't conservative. And that is what we've gotten. We have gotten liberal, and someone like a Sarah Palin, who is a fraud, is perpetuating liberal, saying it's conservative. So on that same note, going into where we stand, Alaskans, that is the leadership that we have right now. So let's talk a little bit about our legislators. So this is from a local website called MidnightSunAK.com, and it is put out by a friend, Casey Reynolds. And Casey talks a little bit about some legislators spend a lot of our money on themselves. So he interviewing some of the legislators for a list of the 2015 salary and business expense report. Casey found that he was pretty shocked. There are some legislators that just don't care. They spend our money with reckless abandon. They think they are badasses, is what Casey says. Flying over here, over there, pocketing all of the money that we give them for office expenses, charging us more to relocate them than it would cost to just buy them a new car. And they are crazy. They think they can bilk the good people of Alaska for it's all, and we won't even notice. Well, we don't. That's right. These legislators are the honey badgers, he calls them, and here are their awards. So here are the numbers for 2015. This is for Alaskan legislators, and we, of course, have the highest amount racked up by a legislator is from a Senator Liesl McGuire, whom I would very much like to see replaced, $39,908.24 for that one. Republican. Second place winner is a Democrat, Bob Herron, $33,616.33. And that was for the highest travel cost. For the highest travel costs and highest travel for any one year, we have Senator Gary Stevens, Republican, $62,968.67. Right on his tail is in second place is Bert Stedman, Republican, $47,486.80. For the highest total, 5 years total, we have winner Bob Herron, Democrat, $193,000. Second place, Gary Stevens, Republican, $173,000. And an honorable mention goes to Liesl McGuire, $161,618. For relocation expenses, the highest goes to Donnie Olson, Democrat, $46,000, folks. Second place, another Democrat, Neil Foster, $1,325. What a difference between the winner, the number one place in that expense, and number two, 46,000 and then 8,000. Goodness. Highest total from any one year for relocation expenses are Democrats, both from Nome, 46,048, and not to outdo himself, 22,857. Donnie Olson was that legislator, and he took the number one and number two spots. Highest relocation expenses for any five-year total. Same person, Donnie Olson, $119,000. Neil Foster, Democrat, $28,000. Total non-salary compensation. This is for relocation, travel, expense allowance, and per diem. These are the fleecers, the biggest fleecers of Alaska. And it is Donnie Olson, Democrat, $121,000, and Liesl McGuire, Republican, $94,236. That was just for the 1 year, 2015. So let's look at the biggest fleecers of Alaska for a five-year total. See how much that these people have gotten away with. We'll go back to Senator Donnie Olson, Democrat, $482,855. With honorable mentions from Bob Heron, Democrat, $438,000, Gary Stevens, Republican, $437,000, and Liesl McGuire, $405,000. Unbelievable, folks. I'm sure that Alaska is not the only state where this is taking place, but this has to stop. This has to stop. Here we are dealing with a governor who wants to build a pipeline regardless of whether or not the economics are viable, and he doesn't care. He wants to put in a state income tax where there was none before he and the legislature even comes out with a budget, even takes time to cut where cuts need to be made. He wants to just throw an income tax on us. Things like this cannot continue. Spending money like this, these folks who are being elected, regardless whether they're Republican or Democrat, whether they say they're conservative or liberal, it is what they're doing that we need to look at. We need to take notice and be verbal about it. So I encourage everybody to take time to look and see what your legislators are doing and how much money they are spending. Completely ridiculous. So moving on, this is from another daily read. It's the Alaska Daily Planet. And I wish I had my friend Pat with me. She would give us a little bit of insight. Maybe we'll discuss it next week. But Alaska's education spending, it still outpaces the rest of the U.S. by quite a bit. And Alaska pays far more to educate its children than any other state. The latest data collected by the federal government shows uniquely high and unwavering spending by education in Alaska, including, of course, Anchorage, which is the largest spender in the largest school district. Elsewhere, states are cutting spending on schools, but nope, not here in Alaska. The new data comes as the state is considering how to cut its budget and raise new funds amid sinking oil revenues and a historical aversion of taxes. This all fits together, folks. This is where we're at in Alaska. The federal government's National Center for Education Statistics, which gathers and evaluates data about schools across the country, recently released the most up-to-date national education review and spending data for the fiscal year 2013. Again and again, top in terms of funding elementary and secondary education. In fiscal year 2013, Alaska spent $2.4 billion on education in 54 school districts. I don't know how we can continue this, folks. Most of that came from the state, which pitched in nearly five times the $324 million in available federal revenue. This governor wants to tax us now. Instead of bring the budget down, he wants to keep things high as it is. Where all the states are cutting, this governor wants to build the budget up, have the people pay, which we will never can pay because our population is minimal. We will never, never be able to cross that budget threshold with income revenue only. It will never happen. Alaska has the highest median expenditures in the country. This is, folks, I am reading this from Washington. This is, they are talking about us. The highest expenditures in the country per student. The figure far outpaces those that follow. Like New York, the District of Columbia, Wyoming, none of these cracked the $20,000 mark. None. But Alaska did, $1,000 per student. The Anchorage School District, with nearly 49,000 students, is one of the top 100 school districts in the country, 97th to be exact, but it ranks fourth in the nation for per pupil spending. The only large school district that spent more than Anchorage at $15,331 per student was Philadelphia, Boston, New York, and the last of which educates just short of 1 million students. And Anchorage, well, Anchorage does not have even close to that many students. The story of Alaska's education spending is really, you know, where we spend it is the rule. We have villages and inaccessible parts of Alaska that are required to have to spend to build schools, to have to spend for a very minimal amount of students, where in some cases it would be cheaper to put them on an airplane and fly them into Anchorage or to a nearby city where they can attend school. We definitely have issues here. And money is just oozing everywhere, and we need to take control somehow. moving on, we'll just be able to get just a little bit in, but I know we'll be talking more about this. We'll talk a little bit local. Wasilla moves towards a ban on retail marijuana sales. So Wasilla's bid to prohibit marijuana businesses inside the city limits was basically voted unanimously that they do not want to see that the city already does have a ban on marijuana clubs and manufacturing edibles for sale or commercial use. Selling and growing marijuana is still legal in Houston and the rest of Matanuska borough in the valley. Voters will get a chance coming up this fall to put it to the vote. The state voters in November of 2014, we voted to legalize recreational marijuana in Alaska, license allowing for the sale of cannabis products to adults at are expected to be issued coming up this May. Here in Wasilla, the officials who back the proposed regulations point out that city residents voted against the legalization by about 450 votes, which if you're listening from other places in the country, that isn't very many. But critics say a retail ban will fuel Wasilla's already thriving black. And really, we need to think about this. Is that what we want? More black market drug dealing going on? And I don't think it'll be a matter of time before it actually is legalized at the federal level. So Sarah Williams, an industry advocate who chairs the borough's 17-member marijuana advisory committee, told the city council, Wasilla City Council, Monday, that the business she plans to open is expected to generate 10 jobs and a little over $100,000 in annual taxes. And, of course, that money will all have to be done and saved somewhere on the premises or off, but not in a bank. Those 10 people will be paid by cash, because they will not be able to be paid by check, because the bank will not give them accounts for these marijuana retail industries, businesses. So it's really crazy, and I'm not sure how we're going to work it all out, but we will be back next week to talk about it, because that's what we're here for, is to talk about what's happening in the community, you and me. That's what's happening now. So thanks for being with me with Alaska News and Views, and it was great to be back. See you soon.